Kellogg, Norfolk Villa, Prospect Street, Granville, New South Wales, Australia. February 15, 1895. Dear brother, I received the donation of $10 which you sent me, and I thank you for it. I have had many copies of letters written to send to my brethren, and I think I have received but two donations for defraying expense in this kind of missionary enterprise. I desire to be a faithful steward, and use the letters in such a way that precious souls may be helped, and the Lord Jesus may be glorified. I thank you for the donation to advance the cause of God in Australia. I will give this donation, as from you, to advance the work in New South Wales, and you may do as you have suggested and apply the money in the way you have mentioned. The interest in Ashfield has been just as good since the tent has been taken down as at the time when the meetings were begun. The meetings are now held in a hired hall. Last week, 16 were baptized, and 12 more are now waiting baptism. They have pitched the tent at Petersham, a suburb 2 miles nearer Sydney. The interest in Petersham is very good. There are two brethren by the name of Collins and Pallant who are visiting and giving Bible readings in the community, and quite an interest has thus been awakened. When the people whom they visit become interested, they invite them to go to the tent to hear brethren McCullough and Hare. Brother McCullough devotes most of his labors to Ashfield. Sometimes Brother Hare speaks at Ashfield, and Brother McCullough at Petersham. A good work is going on in the Sydney Church, for which we praise the Lord. The Lord gave me a special testimony for the entire church, and for two men in particular, who had been hindrances to the church ever since it was organized. They would not pay their tithes, yet they were free to find fault if they did not have a minister to preach to them. When they did have a minister, they criticized him and the message he bore. About 3 weeks ago, I felt that it was time for me to speak plainly. I labored with the church about 3 hours, and the Lord drew near, and by His Holy Spirit, melted the hard hearts of these men. They both say that from henceforth they will pay their tithes, and one brother said that he would also pay the last year's tithe that he now owes. They are converted men. The church members look on with astonishment to see the change that has taken place in them. They say it was a miracle of God. No one, either of ministers or people, could do anything with these men, or obtain the least encouragement in talking with them. I presented the fact before the church that the Lord was sending His ministers to labor in the vicinity of Sydney, but that I would not advise them to work in Sydney until these men either came into harmony with their brethren and the work of God, or would leave the church altogether. The word preached did them no good, because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. But the brethren accepted the testimony in every particular, and my heart is relieved of its burden. For weeks after giving the testimony, I was much exhausted. I had been very anxious over these cases. I had thought, will the message I have to bear cause these men to decide on the enemy's side? Will they turn from the light God has given? I had spoken upon general principles in regard to the Christian life, the duty of purity, of piety, and holiness, but nothing seemed to touch them. They did not make any application of the truth to their own cases. When their names were called in church, they did feel stirred. When I asked who of the church members would that day come out wholly on the Lord's side, the people responded with their testimonies. These two men rose to speak, but did not come to the point. I then prayed most earnestly for them and for the church, and again I called, "Who will be on the Lord's side this day?" The hardest of these two brethren said, "I receive the testimony as from the Lord." Since the brethren have received the testimony, there is a marked change in the atmosphere surrounding their souls. Both these brethren have visited me, and have made thorough confessions, and have acknowledged to the church the truthfulness of the testimony. The promise of the Lord. A new heart also will I give thee. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, has been fulfilled in the case of these two men. I had told them that their spirit was such that they were led to work against the Lord and against the truth. The Lord could not entrust new converts to the care of the church while they brought into it such unsanctified elements of character. The time had come that the Sydney church should arise and shine. These brethren would have to be converted, or if they failed to respond to the divine spirit, it would be the duty of its members to send up supplications to God who hears prayer, to cleanse his church from those who were working against it. I am so grateful to our merciful Heavenly Father that these men have not left the church and have begun to work in the Spirit of Christ. I am so thankful that I do not have to spend sleepless nights sorrowing over their cases. A marked change has taken place in their home life. They seem like new men. I praise the Lord for what He hath wrought. What a lesson it is to the church of Christ's divine condescension. It is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. The Holy Spirit does not merely give an invitation, but it conducts the soul to Calvary to look upon an uplifted Savior. Tomorrow, Sabbath, Sister May Lacey and I go to Petersham. I am to speak there in the tent. Brother Byron Belden and his wife go to Kellyville. One of my horses goes in one direction to Kellyville, a distance of 11 miles, and the other goes to Petersham, a distance of about 12 miles. February 17th. I met with the brethren of the Sydney Church and with many of the new converts at a hall in Petersham yesterday. Many who have newly come into the faith came down from Ashfield in the afternoon, and the hall was full to overflowing. The Lord gave me an earnest message to bear to all present. I spoke from the first 15 verses of the 14th chapter of Luke, and the Holy Spirit impressed the truth upon the hearts of the people. What joy was expressed in the countenances of those who have newly been converted! We had a praise and thanksgiving meeting. What a marked change was apparent in Brother Hardy and in Brother and Sister Humphreys! What testimonies they bore, making manifest the fact that Christ is formed within, the hope of glory. It is nothing less than a miracle that these men who have been like lions should have been changed to be like lambs. The new converts testified that they saw their duty in a light in which they had never seen it before, and said that they should never forget the words spoken by Sister White, and declared that they meant to practice the truth which had been spoken. Brother Humphreys has paid $50 in back tithes, and he feels that he is standing on the solid rock. I am so glad for him. I rejoice in the Lord and praise his holy name. An excellent class of people are coming out to hear Brethren McCullough and Hare at the tent in Petersham. Several men of influence are much interested, but the question is, will they be among that class who believe the truth, but who dare not confess it for fear of being turned out of the synagogues? God is able to raise up of these stones children unto Abraham. Another baptism is to take place on Tuesday. I wish to be remembered to your wife and children, to Sister Austin and her daughters. Your sister in Christ.